His name was Jack. And Jack was walking close to the edge of a cliff. And Jack stumbled and fell off the cliff. But as he fell, there sticking out of the cliff was a branch. And so Jack grabbed the branch with both hands and held on for dear life. But he knew that the branch was going to be just temporary and it wasn't going to hold him long. Jack then, hanging there, made a huge mistake. He looked down. And it was 1,000 feet to the ground. So hanging there, Jack began to scream, "Help me! Is there anybody up there that can help me? Help me!" And there came a voice, "Jack, Jack, it's gonna be okay. You're gonna be fine." And Jack screamed, well, who is this? And the voice said, "Jack, it's the Lord." And Jack says, "Well, Lord, where are you?" And the voice said, "Jack, I'm everywhere." And Jack said, well, Lord, what are you going to do? And the Lord said, "Jack, I can do anything." So Jack begins to plead, "Lord, just get me out of this. I'll do whatever you say. You get me past this. Listen, anything you say, I'll do. There's nothing you can tell me to do that I won't do." And the Lord said, "Jack, let go of the branch." And when the Lord said that, there was this long pause. And then Jack screamed from the top of his lungs, "Is there anybody else up there?" It's hard for us to let go. We trust in the Lord. We trust in the Lord to a point. We have to learn to let go of the branch. We have to learn to trust God fully. We have to learn to trust God wholly. And we have to learn to do that and to know within our own heart and with our own mind, it's going to be all right. It's going to be okay. In January, we're looking at the theme, remember. We tend to forget. In fact, we tend to remember things that we ought to forget, and we tend to forget things that we ought to remember. But we're talking about things that we need to remember to give pause to every day in 2025. And what we're going to talk about today, I don't know of anything more important. Today, we're going to talk about remembering to trust God. To trust God. to trust him when things are good and trust him when nothing is good. To trust him when everything is right and to trust him when everything is wrong. We've got to learn to turn loose of the branch, to trust God, and to understand this is going to be okay. Three observations. Number one, God wants us to trust him. You believe that? I'm going to show you that over and over again from Scripture, and you're going to need a Bible like right now. God wants us to trust him. Now, before we dig into this, I want us to talk for a couple of minutes about the word trust. What does that mean, trust God? What does that mean that God wants us to trust him? The word trust in Scripture is the idea of having confidence. The word trust in the Scripture is the idea of assurance. Brethren, listen now. When we trust someone, and specifically when we trust in the Lord, what that means is that we're going to believe in their integrity. When we trust in the Lord, what that means is that we're going to rely on their word. When we trust someone, specifically when we trust in the Lord, what that means is that we are going to live in the hope of their promises. Now look at the thought. God wants us to trust him. God wants us to have confidence in him. God wants us to have assurance in him. What God wants from us is God wants us to believe in his integrity. He wants us to rely on his word, and he wants us to hope in all the promises that he has made. God wants us to trust him. Now, turn your Bible to the book of Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. Verse 5 and verse 6. Are we there? Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. The call here is to trust in the Lord. But now I want you to examine these two verses closely, because the trust here that's being set forth, this is a trust that is characterized with total commitment. You say, how so? Look at verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. In the Bible, the word heart is talking about your feelings. The word heart in Scripture is talking about your emotions. It includes your will. It includes your interests. So what the word heart in the Bible is talking about, the word heart in Scripture, the vast, vast majority of times, is talking about our entire person, our entire person. Everything that makes me who I am and what I am is to trust in the Lord. All of your heart. Look at verse 6. Trust him with all your ways. You see it? Your ways are your actions. Now let's put those two together. We are to have trust, confidence, assurance, reliability on God with everything that we are and with everything that we do. Listen, let go of the branch. God wants you to trust him. Let's go back further in the Old Testament. Go back to Joshua chapter 1. And how interesting is this? Joshua chapter 1 and verse 9. We're going to read it, and then I'm going to give you the backstory. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 9. God, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Now listen, listen to the context. The children of Israel are about to cross the Jordan River and enter in to the land of promise, the promised land. Now wait. They've been here before. 40 years earlier, they were here. And God told them then, 40 years earlier, God said, I've given you the land, go in and take the land. But they didn't trust him. So instead of going in and possessing the land, they sent spies in there. And those 12 spies came back, and 10 of them said, listen, those are giants over there, and we look like grasshoppers in their sight. So they didn't trust God. You hearing this? And because they didn't trust God, they spent 40 years wandering in the wilderness. Now, it's 40 years later, and now it's time, and God is saying to them, listen, you trust me. This time, let's get this thing right. God wants us to trust him. God wants us to trust him. And brethren, I want you to hear this carefully. We have every reason in the world to trust him. Every reason in the world. All of the way through the scriptures, Old Testament and New Testament, all of the way through, we find out that God protects his people, and God guides his people, and God loves his people. Remember Joseph? His brothers took him and sold him into slavery. Listen, this was his flesh and blood. They sold him into slavery, and they went home and lied to dad. And then all those years later, Joseph, through the providence of God, is in Egypt, and he's rising and rising in Egypt, and now Joseph is second in command in Egypt. And he comes face to face with those brothers who all those years ago had sold him. And Joseph told those brothers in Genesis 50 and verse 20. It's Genesis 50 and verse 20. Joseph looked at them and said, "You meant this for evil, but God meant this for good." God took the evil of others and worked it to good. We have every reason to trust God. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Listen, God cares for you. Let go of the branch. Let me give you one more. Turn to Exodus chapter 34. Go back further. Exodus chapter 34. God had commanded Israel. Now listen to this. Three times a year, I want all of the men to go to the city of Jerusalem and celebrate the feast days. Do you hear what I said? Three times a year, I want all men to go up and make the trek, but go to the city of Jerusalem and celebrate the feast days. So all the men are gone. You know what that means? That means that the only ones left at home are the women, the wives, and the kids. Now, I want you to think about that through ancient eyes. What a perfect opportunity for any enemy just to go, march in, and take over. Listen, every city, every village, and every town was empty of men three times a year. But do you know there was not a single attack on them? Exodus chapter 34, verse 23 and 24. Three times in the year shall all the males appear before the Lord God, the God of Israel. Verse 24, for I will cast out nations before you and enlarge your borders. No one shall covet your land when you go up to appear before the Lord your God three times in a year. God is saying, listen, you do what I'm telling you to do, and I got this at home. God wants us to trust him. Let go of the branch. Observation number two. God wants us to trust him. Number two, when we don't trust God, we end up disobeying God. God wants us to trust him. And when we don't trust him, what happens is that we will always end up disobeying him. Now, let me start that with this. Sometimes God will ask us to do things that doesn't seem right in our eyes and in our mind. And in other words, God will say, if you do this, your blessing will be this. and you're trying to connect, how is doing this gonna get me this? Trust in God. Now, Proverbs 14 and verse 12, there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof is a way of death. Now, I want everybody here to turn. Everybody turn to the book of Leviticus chapter 25. Leviticus chapter 25. And while you find Leviticus 25, let me tell you the story that's going on. God has commanded the children of Israel that every 7 years they are to let the land rest. What does that mean? That means no plowing, no farming, and no crop. Every 7 years, let it rest. Now, these people were farmers. Their survival depended upon those crops. And now here is God telling them, every 7 years, you let that land rest, no crops. And I'm sure they must have been thinking, what is going on? Are you listening? God then went on to say that every seven years, let it rest. 7 years, let it rest. 7 years, let it rest. And you run that out 7 years, 49 years. God said on the 49th year, you let that land rest. And on the 50th year, the year of Jubilee, you let that land rest again. What? What? Listen, these people lived day to day. You understand that? They lived hand to mouth. And now here is God telling them for two consecutive years, on the 49th and on the 50th year, let that land rest. Well, how are we going to survive? How are we going to survive? How are we going to get through this? Brethren, listen to me. Listen, when we don't trust God, we end up disobeying God. I don't read once where they let that land rest. They farmed that on the 49th year, and they farmed that on the 50th year. You know why? They didn't trust God. And because what God was asking them to do, listen to me, because what God was asking them to do didn't seem right to them, they disobeyed. Here's a tragedy. Many are still doing the same thing today. God commands something. Well, that just doesn't seem right to me. And we think that because it doesn't seem right to us, that we don't have to do it. Let me give you an example. Baptism. Baptism. What in the world does getting in water have to do with the forgiveness of my sins? That doesn't make sense to me. It does if you trust God. Nothing is taught clearer in that book than the necessity and the essentiality of baptism. Saul of Tarsus was told to arise and be baptized and wash away your sin. That verse teaches that our sins are washed away in the act of baptism. But we say, listen, I can't make that connection. Listen, the problem, we don't trust God. We don't trust God. I'll give you another subject. Priorities. Priorities. Listen, God is first. In the Old Testament, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Listen, God said, look, you put me on the top shelf, and that's where I'm staying. Jesus said, but seek first the kingdom of God and its righteousness. But see, I got all of these obligations. Leviticus chapter 25. Look at verse 20. They didn't rest the land on the 49th year. They didn't rest the land on the 50th year. Verse 20. And if you say, what shall we eat in the seventh year? Now that seventh year is the 49th year. And if you read that chapter, you'll see that. Verse 20. And if you say, what shall we eat in the seventh year? If we may not sow or gather our crops, verse 12, I will command my blessing on you in the sixth year so that you will produce a crop sufficient for 3 years. God said, listen, do what I'm telling you to do, and I'm going to give you more than if you farm the land. Listen, they didn't trust God, so they disobeyed him. God wants us to trust him. Not to a point, but let go of the branch. When we don't trust God, we end up disobeying God. Observation number 3. When we don't trust, we disobey. And when we disobey, we suffer. We suffer. When we don't trust God, we will disobey him. And when we disobey him, we will suffer for it. You're in Leviticus 25. Turn one page. Leviticus chapter 26 and verse 33. They didn't do what they were told. So God said, I will scatter you among the nations. And I will unsheath the sword after you. And your land shall be desolation, and your city shall be a waste. God said, look, you didn't trust me. You didn't trust me. And so because you didn't, you disobeyed me. And now because you disobeyed me, God said, I'm going to scatter you. Now, what this is talking about here is the coming Babylonian captivity, where the Babylonian army is going to march into Jerusalem and take captive and carry the people off into faraway Babylon, and they're going to stay captives in Babylon for 70 years. Look at verse 34. Then the land shall enjoy its Sabbaths, as long as it lays desolate while you are in your enemy's land, then the land shall rest and enjoy its Sabbath. You understand what's going on there? You didn't let the land rest. You didn't do what I told you. Now you're going into captivity, and he says, now the land will rest for 70 years. God wants us to trust him. We have every reason to trust him. Because when we don't trust him, we're going to end up disobeying him. And when we disobey him, we will suffer. So here's what it comes down to. It comes down to choice. That's what it comes down to. But I want you to understand the choice. You can choose to trust God, or you can choose to not trust God. You can choose to obey God, or you can choose not to obey God. But I want everybody to understand this about your choice. Whether you choose to trust God or whether you choose not to trust God doesn't change that book. God doesn't say, well, you know, if it doesn't seem right to you, then just leave it alone. Whatever choice you make this morning isn't going to change one word of what that says. You will never, ever be happier in your life. And I don't mean world happy, I mean heart happy. You will never be happier in your life than when you stop trying to run the world, trust God, and let him run it. Trust him. Baptism's in the Bible. You may not ever do that, but it's still there, and that's not going to change. Trust him. Reach out to him. Give your life to him. Be baptized for the remission of your sin. Be baptized to wash away your sin. How can God do that? Because God is God. And I mean, God can do some stuff. And he can save you, but you have to come.